Rabbi Sai, good morning. Let's begin. So today's daf is Chof Gimel. We're going to pick up on the bottom of Chof Beis Amud Beis. So the Gemara, we left off with Amar Rami Bar Rav Yud. It's 2, 4, 6, 7 lines up from the bottom. And again, I want to echo Ari's sentiment in thanking Hal for the beautiful breakfast. Grandma's neshama should have an aliyah. And of course, to always thank Ari and to thank Hal, to thank Saeed, and many people, Baruch Hashem, will really contribute to make sure that the gashmius of the daf works very well. So the Gemara says, Amar Rami Bar Rav Yud. Ubigola Masrin Al Ha'ar. If you remember again, we ended off yesterday with a discussion that you cannot go ahead and daven for HaKadosh Baruch Hu to stop excessive bracha. Meaning if there's too much bracha, we don't daven to HaKadosh Baruch Hu to stop excessive bracha. The Gemara says, now comes along Rami, and Rami says, well, there's one exception, Bagola. Outside of Eretz Yisrael, we do in fact go ahead and daven for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. If there's too much rain, we will go ahead and tell HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We will go ahead and tell HaKadosh Baruch Hu to ask for the rain to stop. Tanya Nami Hoch, we have a brisa that supports this. Shana Shegishamea Merubin, if you have a year with a lot of rain. So Anshe Mishmar Shulchan Anshe Ma'amad, the Anshe Mishmar, which refers again to the Kohanim, who are on call. Remember again, we spoke about the 24 Mishmaros, each Mishmar serving 1 week in the Beis HaMikdash. So the Anshe Mishmar would say to the Anshe Ma'amad, Tinu Einechem Ba'acheichem Shebegola. Literally set your eyes upon your brethren in the diaspora. Shelo Yehei Bateim Kivrehem. That their homes should not become their graves. So Rashi points out, we're referring specifically to Bavel. So Bavel was a low-lying area, and were to rain too much, literally could cause mudslides, and for the homes to collapse. So as much as we don't daven for excess rain in Eretz, or we don't daven in the event that there's excess rain in Eretz Yisrael, we will daven for the communities of Bavel, that chas v'shalom, that the excess rain should not create, God forbid, loss of life or loss of property. Sha'alu es Rabbi Eliezer. They asked Rabbi Eliezer, Ad heichan gishamim yordim yispalalu, shelo yerdu. Said, what? Now, obviously, there must come a certain point in time where even an Eretz Yisrael will daven because there's too much rain. So how much, I mean, at what point in time does it become a state of emergency if there's too much rain in Eretz Yisrael? Amar lehem, Rabbi Eliezer responded to them, kedi sheyamod adam bekaren ofel, v'yishach sheikh raglov b'mayim. So there has to be enough rain that a person is standing on Karen Ofel. Supposed like, Karen Ofel was an area of very high elevation. It was a mountaintop. Birds would have to be standing on Karen Ofel and be able to literally swish their foot in the water. Then I will say, that is not going to happen. That's not going to happen. That would be like Mabul-like proportions. What Rabbi Eliezer was essentially saying was, never. That meaning in Eretz Yisrael, there's no such thing ever as too much rain. So okay, if the rain were to get to Karen Ofel, then Lamaisa again, you could daven for it to stop. But we learned that again, if it's enough rain that you could swish your hand in it on Karen Ofel, that's enough. Then you would daven for the rains to stop. Raglov ki yadav kamina. So Rabbi Eliezer says, I mean his hands and his feet. Meaning, if the water is so high that you could either swish your foot in there, or you could bend down and swish your hand in there, then Lamai said that's too much rain. And if it's that amount of rain, you could daven for it to stop. But again, what Rabbi Eliezer is really answering is there's never such a thing as too much rain in Eretz Yisrael, and therefore it's not going to happen. We're going to have a situation to daven for it to stop. So he goes weiter. Amar Rabbi Rechana, Lididi. Now once we mentioned Karen Ofel, the Gemara tells a little bit of a story just about the incredible elevation of Karen Ofel. So Rabbi Rechana said, Lididi Chazili Karen Ofel. I was once by Karen Ofel, and what happened? The Kamhu Tayo Kirach of Gamla. I saw an Arab. Tayo is an Arab, literally an Arab merchant. I saw an Arab merchant who was riding on his camel. He was holding a spear, and Mischazi Anivi. And again, Karen Ofel is so high that this Arab merchant on his camel with the spear looked like a worm. Meaning that's how high the elevation is. He looked like a little nothing. So turn around. Vinasati Gishmechem Bita. The Brisa says again, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to us, I will give you your rain in the right time. Lo Shikora Velo Tzimea Ela Benonis. We won't give you drunken rains. And I will say drunken rains means like a deluge. We won't give you thirsty rains, which is just like a trickle of rain, but not enough to really affect any type of change. Ela beinonis, but rather, again, just the right amount of rain. Shekolzman shagishamim merubin, because again, if there's too much rain, mitashtashin es ha'aretz ve'inomotia peros. The earth becomes muddy, and muddy earth cannot produce cannot produce vegetation or agriculture. Davar acher, another possibility. Tap of chav gimel biitam. What does it mean that HaKadosh Baruch Hu says? I will say the first interpretation of v'nasati gishmechem biitam. Itam means in the right measure, and the second interpretation biitam means in its right time. What's the right time for rain? Biitam lele revios ubalele shabbosos. I will give you again the rains in the right time. Literally on Wednesday nights. Or actually, it really means on Tuesday nights, right? On the night of Wednesday, i.e. Tuesday nights, ubalele shabbosos, Friday night. Shekim, so Rosa, look at Rashi for just a moment. Rashi says, dichsiv bi'itam, zebalele revius, ubalele shabbosos. Now, why is Tuesday night and Friday night, Shabbos night, the best time for rain? De'in torech libne adam, de'in on holchin lidrachim. Because they're both saying Tuesday nights and Shabbos nights, Friday nights, were times that people did not generally venture out of the house. Now, why not? He says, belele revius, mipne igras bach machos. So Rosa, we had this. If you remember again, there's a particular shade. There's a particular shade that's out on Tuesday nights by the name of Igras Bas Machlos. Whatever, again, however we are to understand the dynamic of shadim. You know that we've spoken about this before. There's a fundamental dispute in terms of whether or not to understand shadim literally as negative forces, or as the Maharal understands it, that shadim are much more metaphorical in nature. Without getting into that discussion right now, the point is that on Tuesday nights, this shade, Igras Bas Machlos, is out. And on Friday night, of course, people aren't out. Why? Shabbos, because ultimately they're relaxing, they're resting at home. Therefore, again, according to this interpretation, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will dafka bring rains at a time when it won't inconvenience people, i.e. Tuesday nights and Friday nights. Shekem Matzirim Shimon ben Shetach. So as we saw in the days, or as we have found in the days of Shimon ben Shetach, Sheyardu lahem gishamim belele revios ubelele shabbosos. I said, in days of Shimon ben Shetach, which was a righteous generation, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu caused the terrain on Tuesday nights and Friday nights. Listen to this. Ad shenaase chitim kiklayos. Until the wheat kernels were as large as kidneys. Mamish. Usorim kigarine zesim. The barley kernels were as large as the pits of olives. The adoshim and the lentils were the size kidinari zohov, were the size of gold coins. Vitzararu mehem dugma lidoros, and they saved some of these crops as a sign for future generations. Lohodia kamaha chet gorim, to show how much sin detracts. Meaning, I will say they understood that this incredible bounty was due to their pious behavior, to the piety of their generation, and therefore, by definition. When the world does not cooperate properly with us, that is reflective again of what? Of our sinful state or of the lack of piety. Shine Emar, the Pasuk says, Avonoseichem hitu eila vechatoseichem manu hatov mikem. Because literally, quotes over the Pasuk from Yirmiyahu, literally, your sins have caused this, and your sins, your chatoim, have prevented you, have withheld from you the good. I will say a very important yisod, a very important theological yisod, which is not as simple as the Gemara makes it. But the idea is the world reacts in kind. The world reacts to our behavior. It's the Baal Shem Tov HaKadosh who says, Hashem Tzilcha, Kadosh Baruch Hu is our mirror. What happens in the world very often is a mirror reflection of the state of not just really of mankind. You know, there's a famous Maisa with the Chafetz Chaim, where the Chafetz Chaim used to have fundraisers who would go to communities outside of Europe to go and fundraise, not just for his yeshiva in Radin, but for many Jewish causes. One time he had a fundraiser, went to South Africa. So the fundraiser came back and he asked this fundraiser, tell me, you know, what's the plight of the blacks in South Africa? So the fundraiser was surprised. Like, why is the Chafetz Chaim concerned with the plight of the blacks in South? I mean, it's okay. Chafetz Chaim is an empathic, compassionate individual, but why is that his first question? He didn't ask how much money did you raise. He said, "How are the blacks doing in South Africa?" So the fundraiser asked the Chafetz Chaim, and the Chafetz Chaim responded. He said, "Because if the blacks are suffering in South Africa, then the Jews of Radin need to improve themselves more." Meaning, incredible, incredible yisod that Am Yisrael bears collective responsibility. This is where the concept of Jewish guilt comes in, right? That Am Yisrael, you know, I've just amplified that guilt tenfold, right? That Am Yisrael bears responsibility for what happens in the world. We set the tone for humanity. And therefore, if there is suffering in any corner of the world, some way, somehow, Klal Yisrael has to address that. So that's what they're saying over here. Again, when Klal Yisrael does what they do, so the world reacts, agriculture reacts in kind. When we don't do what we don't, what we're supposed to do, then ultimately, again, the world reacts negatively as well. And so too, we find the Bosa, this is amazing. In the days of Hordus, Herod, Herod was crazy. Herod was crazy. Herod was crazy. The truth is, probably today, they would diagnose him as severely bipolar. That's the truth. And they would say that again because sometimes he commissioned the building of the second Beis HaMikdash, but he also virtually wiped out the entire Sanhedrin. So again, it was very difficult to read ultimately who Herod was, depending on when you got him. But interestingly enough, in the days of Herod, when they build the Beis HaMikdash, Hayardin Yisham Balayla. So what happened? So it would rain at night. It would rain at night. Lamachar nishpa haruach. The next morning, again, the wind would blow. V'nispazru ha'oven. It would scatter the clouds. V'zarcha ha'chama. The sun would shine. V'yatsu ha'am l'malachton. V'yadu shemalach ha'shamayim b'yadayim. So also, amazingly enough, in all the days when they were building the second temple, it wouldn't rain during the day because that would disrupt the labor. It would rain at night. Then again, the wind would blow, scatter the clouds. Sun would come out, dry out the rain. So that by the time the next work day began, they were able to go ahead and resume working. Amazing. So also remember again, the Mishnah recorded the story of Choni HaMa'agel, Choni the circle drawer. So now the Braiser goes ahead and expounds on the story a little bit. Tan Rabbanan, Pam Achas Yaser of Adar Velo Yadur Gishamim. One time the majority of Adar had elapsed, and remember it did not yet rain. This, of course, is severely problematic because Nisan is the end of the rainy season. Shalchu L'choni HaMa'agel, they sent to Choni HaMa'agel, Hispalo, Davin for us, the Yardu Gisham, let it rain. Hispalo Vel Yardu Gisham. So Choni Davin, but yet again it still did not rain. Og Uga Va'am Besocha. He drew a circle and he planted himself in the circle. Kiderech Sha'asa Chabakuk Hanavi. Now Choni HaMa'agel did not make this up himself, but again he emulated the practice of Chabakuk. What did Chabakuk do? Shene Emar, Al Mishmarti Emda, Ves Yatzva Al Matzor. Chabakuk says, literally, on my watch I will stand, the Es Yatzva, and I will remain a Matsur. By, again, Matsur literally means the siege. So the Navi explains that Chabakuk dug himself a hole, stood inside of that hole, and would not come out of that hole until ultimately, again, a Kadosh Baruch Hu answered his tefilos. Amr Lefanov. Choni said, Ribono Shel Olam, Banecho Samu Pnei Malai, your children have turned towards me for assistance. Sha'ani ke ben bayis lifanecha, for I am like a ben bayis. I am like, again, a member of your household. Nishpa'ani b'shimcha, God bless you. I go ahead and I swear by your holy name. I will not move from here until you have compassion on your children. So the rain began to trickle. They said to him, Rebbe, we would like to be able to see you and not die. It appears that God is only causing enough rain to fall so as to free you from your oath. Meaning Choni said that he's not going to go and leave the circle until it begins to rain. Bless you. So it would appear that God is just bringing enough rain in order to go and allow Choni to go ahead and leave the circle, but not enough rain really to satisfy the need. So what happened? Choni HaMa'agel says to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Amar, Lokach Sha'alti, God, this is not what I asked you for. Ela Gishmei Boros Sichunu Ma'oros. I asked you for enough rainfall to fill up the cisterns, to fill up the reservoirs. Yardu B'Za'af. So the rain began to fall literally with anger, meaning a heavy deluge, a downpour. Until literally each drop was enough to fill the opening of a barrel. Bless you. And each drop was not less than a log. Huge amounts of rain. So the students of Choni said to him, Rebbe, we would like to be able to see you and not die. Meaning if this keeps up, there's going to be another mabul, we're all going to perish. It would appear that this rain is falling in order to what? In order to destroy the world. So again, Choni HaMa'agel says to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Lokach Sha'alti, God, this is not what I asked of you. Ela Gishmei Ratzon Bracha Unedava. But rather I asked of you again, rains of blessing, gift rains, rains of divine goodwill. So again, the rains changed. Yardu Ketiknon at Sha'alu Kala Amla Harabais. So the rain began to fall again in the normative fashion until everyone began to ascend to Harabais in the Agisham. So again, now the rainfall became so intense that what? That people literally were seeking out higher ground on the Harabais. Amrullah Rebbe.
Asking for bracha. Only if you're standing in a circle.
Yeah, no, again, so in general, the answer is no. In general, we normally assume HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us exactly what it is that we need. Remember over here, you can ask it differently. Why is HaKadosh Baruch Hu doing this? Meaning, if at the end of the day, God knows what we need, so why start out with the smaller rains, the trickle, then with the deluge, and then only afterwards? So the idea to the Bar Shekiva, to the Marsha, asked that question, and the Marsha says, because here, the whole point of this Gemara, the whole point of this episode, was to demonstrate the Koach HaTfilah. And the power of Tfilah was demonstrated by the fact that Choni asked for A, then he asked for B, then he finally asked for C, and yet HaKadosh Baruch Hu was responsive every single time. Not that all of us have this same level of Koach HaTfilah. We don't all have the same power, but the idea is this is the power of prayer. So what happens? So again, everybody's now ascending to Har HaBayis because of the rainfall. Amulo Rebbe. So again, the students of Choni say to him, Rebbe, Keshem Shispalato Shiyer Dukach Hispalosh Viehu. So Rebbe, the same way you daven for the rains to come, please daven for the rains to stop. Amulohem, Choni said, I'm sorry, I can't. Kach Mikublani. I have a Mesora. Shein Mispalalin Arov Hatova. That you cannot daven to stop an abundance of good. Right? You cannot go ahead. You can't daven to stop a bracha. But look what happened. However, afapike, nevertheless, have you li par hoda. So listen, this is very interesting. So Choni just got finished saying, you can't daven to stop abundant good. But, bring for me a par hoda. Now Rashi says, what's a par hoda? Look at Rashi, par hoda. Lisvados alav, va'asalo smicha ve'eviu shlamim. So he was going to go, and he says, bring me a cow, and we're going to go and offer it up as a shlamim, and I'm going to do vidui on it. Now what is he going to confess? What is he going to do vidui on? Say again, heviu lo par hoda, samach shtei yadav alav. And he placed his two hands on it, and he said, va'amar lefanov, ribono shel olam, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Amcha Yisrael showed Seisam in Mitzrayim, the nation that you took out of Egypt. We'll say this is such a profound tefillah. Einon Yecholin Lo Barov Tova. We can't go ahead and handle too much good. Velov Barov Paranos, and we can't handle too much bad. Ka'as Ta'aleim, if you get angry at us. En Yechol Lamod, we can't endure. Hishpata Aleim Tova, if you shower upon us too much good. Einon Yecholin Lamod, we can't withstand that either. Yiratzal mefonachat shibir wa lakadosh baruch hu sheipasku hagishamim ve'revach ba'olam. Let the rain stop and let there be bounty in the world. Rabbi said, this is amazing. What was Choni saying? Choni realized the fickleness of Klal Yisrael. If there's too much bracha, we complain. If there's too much klala, we complain. And the truth is, even when it's just enough, we still complain. But at the end of the day, what was Choni concerned about? What Choni was concerned about was the following. Kadosh Baruch Hu was showering incredible bracha upon the world, literally. Choni was concerned that people would not appreciate the bracha, and instead all they would see was what? Wow, it's really flooding. It's really, you know, come on, it's too much rain. Choni was concerned again for the chil Hashem that could be created, and therefore again, even though Choni just said, I have a mesora, that we do not daven for abundant blessing to stop, he still davened for abundant blessing to stop, because he said, Kadosh Baruch Hu, if you don't stop it now, the people will not appreciate the miraculous activity that you did. Miyad nashpa haruach, the wind began to blow, v'nispazru ha'avin, the clouds dispersed. V'zarcha achama, the sun came out. V'yatzua am l'sada, the people went out into the field. V'yaviu lahem, and they brought kimin, upitrios, truffles, and mushrooms. Shalach lo shir men shetach. So Shir men shetach went ahead and sent to Choni ha'ma'agil. Il mali Choni ata. If you were not Choni, gozrani alecha nidui. I would have excommunicated you. You know why? She'ilu shanim kishnei Elio. Because had these years been like the years of Elio ha'navi, shemavtechos kishamim biyado she'elio. That I will say again, remember, as much as we started out this mesechta by saying there are certain keys that HaKadosh Baruch Hu does not hand over to man, one time again, one of those keys was rain. One of those keys was handed over to Eliyahu HaNavi. Tosfos points out that what it means is HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't give it over the Olam Vayed. He doesn't give it over for eternity. But for small amounts of time, he will get over. To say, remember, Eliyahu HaNavi decreed that there would be no rainfall. So Shem Ben Shetach says something very interesting. Had you lived in the times of Eliyahu HaNavi, and Eliyahu HaNavi would have said there's no rain, and you would have said then what? There's going to be rain. Would you not have created a chilul Hashem? Meaning again, so what Shimon ben Shetach was giving a strange example. Had you lived the times, so can you imagine? At times of Eliyahu HaNavi, so you're saying it's got to rain. Eliyahu HaNavi is saying what? No rain. So it's going to be a chilul Hashem. Why? Because what's going to happen? Someone's going to be right, someone's going to be wrong, and whoever's proven wrong is going to be a chilul Hashem. Hashem HaShadach was saying to Choni HaMa'agil, we don't do stuff like this. This is not how we operate. We don't give God ultimatums. We don't command things to God. We don't stand in circles and demand for God to jump through hoops for us. It's just not what we do. However, Ava Ma'aselcha. What should I do to you? Sha'atam is chatlef ne'amakam, because you sin before God, because this idea of giving God ultimatums is not something we do. And yet, va'osei lecha ritzoncha. But yet what? Kadosh Baruch Hu listens to you. God listens to you. So what am I going to do? I'm going to punish you. I'm going to put you in cheirim. The Ribbono Shel Olam responds to when you give him ultimatums. Shemischat keben, you are like a son. Shemischata al aviv, who sins against his father. Va'osei leritzono, and yet the father still does what the son asks of him. Va'omer lo. And again, remember, the son says to the father, Abba, holy chini l'rachtzini b'cham, and father, I want to bathe in hot water. Shaftini b'tzoni, father, I want to bathe in cold water. Tein li egozim, give me nuts. Shkedim, right? Give me the almonds. Afarsikim, limonim, give me the peaches, give me the pomegranates. Give me. V'nosing lo. And yet what? The father gives it to him. V'alach, you are like that nudnik kid, Choni, right? You are like the kid who says, I want to go here, I want to go there, I want this, I want that. And you know what? Again, your father doesn't discipline you, because your father, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, gives you everything you want. V'alach, I'm sorry? Correct. And again, he was asking for the klal, and that's exactly why HaKadosh Baruch Hu complied with him. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the major source of Rachmanis that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has is when people don't ask for themselves, when they ask for the collective. Nevertheless, what Shimon Shetach is saying is, remember, what Shimon Shetach ultimately is concerned about is, remember, this is not a model to emulate. This is not a model to emulate, because this is a very dangerous model. Because what happens if I draw my circle, HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't give me what I want? What happens? Again, it's not a mature relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So that's what Shimon Shetach is saying. He says, Va'alecha HaKadosh of Omer, and about you, Choni, the Pasuk says, Yismach Avicha V'imecha, your mother and your father will rejoice over you, V'sagel Yolaretecha, and she who birthed you will rejoice you, meaning somehow HaKadosh Baruch Hu loves you despite the fact that in our eyes your behavior is egregious. Tan Rabbanan, Ma Shalchu B'nei Lishkas Hagaz L'choni HaMa'agel. Listen to this. So what do they send from the B'nei Lishkas Hagaz? Rabbi Moshe, Lishkas Hagaz is the chamber of hewn stone. That was the seat of the Sanhedrin. So the members of the Sanhedrin sent to Choni HaMa'agel. So they sent, again, quoting the Pasuk from Iov, Vatigzar Omer, Vatigzar Omer, Vayokam Loch. So what happened? Vatigzar Omer, Vayokam Loch. Literally, you decreed that which was said. Vayokam Loch, it will occur for you. Va'al dirachecha naga or. And literally, on all of your paths shall light shine. So the Gemara now breaks up this pasuk. Vatigzar Omer, what does it mean you decreed that which was said? Ata gazarta milamato. You, Choni, made a decree here below, meaning you decreed that it had to rain. V'akadosh Baruch Hu mekai ma'amarecha lamala and milamala, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu upholds your decree in the celestial abode. V'al drachacha naga or. And what does it mean on your pathways light shines? Dor shahaya afel. A generation that was dark, meaning a generation that perhaps did not deserve the blessing of rain. Hey arta betfilos secha, you illuminated them with your tfilos. Ki yishpilu. Again, this is just the next pasuk from Iov. Ki yishpilu vatomer, no, vatomer geva visach einayim yoshia. What does that pasuk mean? When it literally, kishpilu vatomer gave, they were low, but you said lift them up. Dor shahaya afel higbata bitfilascha, a generation that was low, you lifted them up with your prayers. Visoch einayim yoshia, and that which is downcast eyes will be lifted up or will be saved. Dor shesach ba'avono, a nation that was downcast because of its sin. Hoshata bitfilascha, you went ahead and you saved them with your prayers. Go ahead and quote the pasuk from Iov. Yemoleit I naki. What does it mean? He who is not clean will be saved. Dor shelo hayonaki maltasa bitfilascha, a generation that was not free from sin, was not clean, you saved them with your prayers. Vinimoleit bebar kapecha. Excuse me. Vinimlat bebar kapecha. Literally, they will be saved. Bebar kapecha literally means with the purity of your hands. Milatato b'maasei yadecha haberurin. You, Choni, saved the generation with the pure actions of your hands. Meaning, so whereas Shimon ben Shetach was very disapproving of Choni's behavior, the members of the Sanhedrin were essentially saying to Choni, Thank you. Because we cannot have, again, we're not condoning the model. I want to be clear. We're not condoning the model. The model is not the appropriate model as an approach relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But they were thanking Choni because, again, clearly the collective were unable to rally the day on their own only because of Choni's incredible zechuyos, his behaviors, his zechuyos, was he able to bring about the rain.
So,
I'm sorry. This must be after the fast. I can't imagine Choni HaMa'agel was their first stop. And I'll say, now, this is, I have to tell you, the next couple lines of Gemara are just amazing. I wish I would have learned these Gemaras when I was your age, because now you boys are going to have a leg up on all of us. So I'm going to be Yochanan. Kol Yomav Sha'ol Tzadik. Listen to this. All the days. No, they know there's incredible pressure. There's exceptional pressure. They live in a pressure cooker. Mamish, it's one big crock pot. So the Gemara says the following. Amr Rabbi Yochanan, Kol Yomav Sha'ol Tzadik. Listen to this. All the days of Choni HaMa'agel. Hayom Etzta'ar Amikra Zeh. He was always bothered by the following pasuk, Shir Hamalos B'Shuva Hashem HaShiva Tzion, a song of ascents. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu returns us to Tzion, Hayino Kicholmim, we will be like dreamers. Now, Rabosai, interestingly enough, the way Rashi understands, and Rabbi Yochanan understands, is that the way this pasuk is interpreted, is it's interpreted to the rebuilding of the second Beis HaMikdash. We use it today to speak about the rebuilding of the third Beis HaMikdash, but it was interpreted by the Gemara, and again, what it's referring to over here, there were 70 years between this first destruction of the first Beis HaMikdash and the rebuilding of the second Beis HaMikdash. So what we interpret now, obviously, is written by David HaMelech, that prophetically was referring to this, that again, the 70 years between the destruction of the first temple and the rebuilding of the second temple, Hayinu kicholmim. They will be. Something is going to be like a dream. So Choni was bothered by this. Amar mi ika denayim shivim shanin kichalma. Could it be that 70 years is like a dream? Now I both say the Marsha says something. I'm just going to tell it to you outside. The Marsha says, what's really bothering Choni? We'll say this is going to blow you away. So remember, 70 years is also significant. Why? Because in David HaMelech's worldview, 70 years also represents what? A lifetime. So Choni HaMa'agel says like this. Listen to these words. Choni HaMa'agel says, if you're going to tell me that 70 years between first Beis HaMikdash, second Beis HaMikdash is like the blink of an eye, like a dream, then what you're telling me is what? That life goes by like quickly as a dream as well. And Choni said, how could that be? How could that be that life? Choni was bothered by this. There's nothing more important than for us to remember again, the Iker is not Olam Haba. I want to be clear. The Iker is Olam Hazeh. Because Olam Haba is only is the composite of everything you've accomplished in this world. And you have to, that's your eternity. Whatever you accomplish in Olam Hazeh, that's what you have to subsist on for all eternity. No pressure. But that's what she got. So 120 years here has to fuel an eternity in Olam Haba. Olam Haba is not the Iker. This is the Iker. Because here's where we grow. Here's where we thrive. Here's where we do. Here's where we accomplish. So Choni says, could it be that it just goes by like a blink of an eye, like a dream? He was bothered by this dynamic. So watch this. Yom achad hava azal b'orcha. I'm sorry. Mi'ika denayim is denayim is sleep. Is there someone who could sleep shivim shana b'chama, who could fall asleep in a dreamlike state for 70 years? Rabosai, what Choni was also bothered by was what? Is it could it be that some people dream through life? Could it be that some people spend their lives, maybe physiologically they're awake, but the truth is they're dreaming, they're not accomplishing, they're not growing, they're not doing. He wasn't asking in such a dynamic possible. I was like, you don't have to ask in such a dynamic as possible, you just need to look around the world. Most people dream through life. Most people don't maximize their existence. For most people, life does go by like a dream, and the truth is, unfortunately, they have not accomplished what they need to accomplish. See, he wasn't asking, does this really happen? He was bothered by the dynamic. So listen to this. So what happens? So the Gemara says, Yom Achad, one day, Hava Azal B'Orcha, he was traveling on the road. Chaz Yelehu Gavra Dava Karnata Charuba, this is amazing Gemara. He saw a man planting a carob tree. Amarle, hi. So he said to him, the farmer, hi, at kama shnin toin, how long will it take the tree to bear fruit? Amarle, at shivim shnin. We'll say, shh. Until 70 years, right? It'll take 70 years for the tree to bear fruit. Amarle, Pshita lecha dechaya shivin shnin. Sichoni was surprised. He said to the farmer, you know, look, you're no spring chicken. So right, you think you're going to live to see that tree bear fruit? So the man says, no. Amalei hai gavra alma becharuv ashkachse. This man, referring to himself, came into a fruit with carob trees that were laden with fruit. Kihechi dishasli li avasi. Because this man came into a world with carob trees, meaning I came into a world with fruit on the carob trees. Why? Because my father planted trees for me, therefore shasli nami libroi. I plant for my son. Both say such a profound gemara. I don't plant for myself. I don't expect to see the fruits of this tree, but my father planted for me. I plant for my son. Yosef, kakarach rifta, Sachoni again sat down to literally break bread to eat. Asa le shinsa, he fell asleep. Nim ahadrale mishunase. So we'll say again, after he fell asleep, he became overtaken by this sleep. Ichse me'ena v'nim shivin shnin. So sleep overtook him. Literally also the rock grew over him. Meaning clearly this is a miraculous event. The idea is that Choni became obscured by sight and he fell asleep. Ichse me'ena, literally he became obscured from sight. V'nim shivin shnin. And Choni fell asleep for 70 years. Kikam, when he got up, Chazielahu Gavra, Dahava Kamelakid Minayu. What's the first thing he saw? He saw a man picking the carobs off the tree. So Amrle, At Hu Dishasle, are you the man that planted the tree? So the man said, no. Amrle, Bar Bere Ana, I am the grandson of the man who planted the tree. Amrle, Shvamina, deny me Shivin Shnin. It would appear to me that I've been asleep for 70 years. Chazia l'chamrei di'isyaldi le'ramchi ramchi. He saw his donkey had given birth to, again, three generations, grandchildren. Eniklach, donkalach, right? A little donkalach running all over the place, right? So he saw, again, three generations of donkeys running all over the place. Azul abeisein, meaning he's looking at all the different trappings of his life and he's seeing how much time has gone by. Azul abeisein, we'll say, listen to this, and this is just, it's heartbreaking. Amrale brei dechoni hama'agel mikayim. He said, is the son of Choni hama'agel still alive? Amrale, they said to him, no, brei lesa. His son of Choni Ma'agel is no longer alive. Barbare Isa, his grandson, is alive. Amarlu, he announced to his household, Ana Choni Hama'agel. I am Choni Hama'agel. Loheminu, they did not believe him. Now, I'll just tell you something interesting. Again, I'll point out the Marsha, and again, just because of time, we're not going to have a chance to do this. The Marsha quotes Josephus. Josephus records an account that Choni Hama'agel was killed, I'll quote you over here, was killed by Mulchamos B'nei Chashmonai. Remember, the Hasmonean kingdom descends into chaos. And there are two Hasmonean kings, Aristobulus and Hyrcanus, who fight for the throne. Josephus has recorded that Choni Hama'agel was killed in the Hasmonean wars. Now, Rabosai, again, now why do people assume that Choni Hama'agel was killed in the Hasmonean wars? Why do they assume that? Because he disappeared. Remember, again, he just disappeared. So they just assumed that he died. Remember, again, and that fits in chronologically. Choni Hama'agel, remember, dies at the... Well, actually, there are two Choni Hama'agels. One lives during the time of the beginning of Bayesheni, and one lives during the end of Bayesheni. This Choni Hama'agel, our Gemara, this is Choni at the end of the Second Temple era, which places him well with Josephus' account that he dies in the Hasmonean Wars. So, again, his family just thought he died. So the guy shows up 70 years after Choni dies, after they think he died, and they say, hi, I'm Choni. No one believes him. So he goes on, he says, what happened? He goes, Azul Beis Medrash. So he goes to the Beis Medrash. Sham inu l'rabbanim d'kamri. He heard the rabbi saying, Nihirin shmaisesin ki bishani Choni ha'ma'agel. Our teachings are as clear to us as the years of Choni. So remember, this Choni standing in the Beis Medrash. He hears the rabbis learning, and he hears them say, the teachings are as clear to us as the years of Choni ha'ma'agel. Dichi hava ayu l'Beis Medrash. Because when Choni would go to the Beis Medrash, kol kushet ahavu l'rabbanu hava mafariklu. Anytime Choni walked into the Beis Medrash, what would happen? He would answer all questions. Choni had absolute clarity in his learning. Amar lehu, Choni announced, Ana nihu, I am Choni ma'agel, loheminu. They did not believe him. And because they didn't believe him, they obviously did not give him the kavod that he was due. Obviously, they saw he was a Talmud Chacham. They saw he knew how to learn, but they didn't think he was Choni ma'agel. What happened? Chalash daite. Choni was very depressed. In the Beis Medrash, no one knew him. At home, no one knew him. No, he was not in the world that was his. Chalash daite became very depressed. Bo'i rachami, he davened to HaKadosh Baruch Hu to die, umis, and he died. Amar Rav Rabosai, Rava says, based on this, the famous adage, Hainu da amri inchi, this is what people say, O chavrusa, o mitusa, give me my friends, or give me death. If I don't have friends, if I don't have family, if I don't have a community, if I'm all alone, then what good is life? Give me connections, give me relationships, give me meaningful connections, or just take me from this world. Abba Chilkia bar Berei Dechoni Ma'agel. Shabbos Sagin was amazing. And again, there's so much more to say about these Gemaras, but just because of time, we're a little bit limited. But obviously, Choni very quickly saw how an entire lifespan can in fact what? Can in fact go by in the blink of an eye. Can go by in the course of one dream. The Gemara tells another, both say, this is another mind-blowing story. Abba Chilkia bar Berei Dechoni Ma'agel Hava. Abba Chilkia was the grandson of Choni Ma'agel. V'chi mitztarich amal ha-mitra. And Rabbi said, his family clearly had a very special koach. When the world required rain, hava meshadri abaran legabei ubay rachami, the world would come to Abba Chilkia, and the rabbis would send messengers to Abba Chilkia, and Abba Chilkia would daven on behalf of the world, on behalf of the community. V'asei mitra, and rain would come. Zimna chada, one time, Itzterech alma lemitra. One time, the world required rain. Shadar rabbanon zugad rabbanon legabe. So what happened? The rabbi said, Menachem, just walk Mr. Baumgart to the main shul, please. So what happened? The world required rain, and the rabbis sent a group of Talmidei Chachamim to Abba Chilkia to ask him to daven for rain. So they went to Abba Chilkia's house. They could not find Abba Chilkia. They went to the field. They found Abba Chilkia. What was he doing? Rafik literally means hoeing. He was farming. And I was like, do you understand this? Abba Chilkia is so spiritually powerful that what? That his tefillos have the ability to bring about rain. And he's a farmer. By the way, it says a number of different things. It says, first of all, that you're able to synthesize both, like we saw with Ilfo stood on the mast of the ship, and you could go ahead and you could be in the world and you could also be an exceptional tzaddik. Rabosai, it ups the ante for us. You know, we think that our day jobs exempt us from spiritual greatness. We think that spiritual greatness is the domain, is the realm of those who have all day to devote themselves to spiritual. Rabosai, I'll tell you one thing is clear. None of us work as hard as a manual laborer. None of us work as hard as a farmer. None of us, I mean, maybe we're up at the crack of dawn. That is true. But to be honest, there's no complaints. We're sipping fresh brewed coffee, sitting in an air-conditioned base medrash, learning Gemara. It's not exactly hard labor. It's Olam Haba, in fact. A little bit early for Olam Haba, but Olam Haba nevertheless. Here is this great tzaddik, and he's an agrarian. He's a laborer. He's a laborer, and yet again, he's a great tzaddik. I think Abba Chilkia is going to greet each of us after 120 and going to ask us one simple question. You know, I did it. What's your excuse? Incredibly, incredibly inspiring. So what happens? So again, they find him and he's in the field working. Yavu Shama. So they gave Shalom Aleichem to Abba Chilkia on the days. Abba Chilkia didn't respond. He didn't say anything. Bepanyo ki Abba Menachem Tzivi. Now at night he was bringing home some wood. I guess maybe for firewood. He was bringing home some wood. Dorat sibi umara bechad kasva. He held his wood and his shovel on one shoulder. Uglima bechad kasva. And he had a cloak. And he had the cloak on the other shoulder. Kula archa lo sayim masanoi. The entire way Abba Chilkia did not wear his shoes. Ki mati lemayo. When he got to the water, sayim masanoi. Then he put on his shoes. Ki mati lehizmi vehigi. Right? When what? When he got to the thorn bush, when he got to the thorns, dalinhu limane, he lifted up his cloak. Kimata lemasa, Rosa, again, we're going to explain all of these behaviors. When he got to the city, nafka devisu la'ape, his wife came out to greet him, kimakashta, and she was beautifully dressed. She was beautifully addressed with makeup and with jewelry. Kimata lebeise, when he got to his house, Alas divisu bereisha. His wife went in the house first. Vahadir ayel ihu. Then Abichilkia went in. Vahadir ayel rabbanan. Then the rabbis went in. Yasiv, they sat down to eat. Karech rifta, they broke bread. Velo amrulu the rabbanan tu krucha. And what happened? And Abichilkia did not offer the rabbis anything to eat. Pala grifta, he went ahead and he broke apart the bread. Palag rifta liyanuke, likashi shachada, ulezutra tre. He gave portions of bread to his children. To the older child, he gave one portion. To the younger child, he gave two portions. Amrla ledivisu, Abichilkia whispers to his wife, yadana rabbana mishum demitra kaasu. I know the rabbis are here to ask us to pray for rain. Nesik leigra, let's just excuse ourselves for a moment, go up to the attic, v'niboy rachame, and let's daven for divine. Let's daven for Hakadosh Baruch Hu to bring about the rain. Afshar the Ratzia Hakadosh Baruch Hu v'yesi mitra v'lo nachzik tivusa l'nafshon. So Abichilkia says to his wife, listen, let's go up. Let's daven now. Maybe Hakadosh Baruch Hu will hear our prayers, and that way it's before again the rabbis even asked us to do anything, and therefore the rabbis won't attribute the rainfall to us. They'll just assume the rainfall came. So what happens? Sakul igra. The Abichilkia and his wife excuse themselves for a moment. They went up to the attic. So Abichilkia stood in one corner. Mrs. Abichilkia stood in the other corner. Kadam siluk, and they both davin. Also, listen to this. Kadam siluk anani mihach zavisa de devisu. Interestingly enough, the rain clouds came first from Mrs. Abichilkia's direction before Abichilkia's direction. Kinach is so now again, which means Baruch Hashem what? It's going to rain. Okay, now they come back down, sit back down at the table. Kinochis, so Abichilkia now for the first time, by the way, talks to his guests. He has not spoken to these guys the entire day. And he says, Amaluhu, amai asu rabbanon? Tell me, what's the purpose of your visit? Amrule shadri lan rabbanon legabei demar lumibay rachami amitra. We have been sent by the rabbis to ask you, Abichilkia, to daven for rain. Abichilkia says, Amaluhu baruch hamakom, shel hitzich eschem la'abichilkia. Baruch Hashem, you don't need me. Look outside, the rain clouds are gathering. So the rabbis say, okay, yeah, whatever. Amrule, yadinan demitran machmas marhu da'asa. Abichilkia, we know. We know that the rain is, we know what you did. We know that you went upstairs to daven, and we understand the rain is coming because of you. So fine. Mission accomplished. We went ahead and the rain is coming. But Abichilkia, if you don't mind, elalema lan mar, hani mili titmialan. So he said, Abichilkia, you strike us as one weird guy. Right? Could we ask you about what we perceive to be your strange behaviors? Abichilkia says, absolutely. Question number one. My time ki hivna lemar shalma, lo azber lan mar ape. Abichilkia, in the morning we came to, we found you in the field, we said shalom aleichem to you, and what? And you didn't respond to us. Why didn't you respond to us? Well, said, this is going to blow you away. Amar lehu, Abichilkia says, Schir yom havoy, I'm a day laborer. Va'amina lo ifkar. And I figured I don't have the right to interrupt my work. I'm on the clock. I don't have the right to interrupt to go ahead and give you shalom aleichem. First of all, the fact that he's a day laborer. He's a day laborer. You pick him up at 7-Eleven. Right? I'm saying he's saying some mamish. Like every single night, you're picking up Abichilkia. He's mamish, a day laborer. And he says, I'm on the clock. I can't go ahead and return shalom to you. That I potentially be taking away time from my employer. Amazing. Second question. Abichilkia, when you walked home, you put your shovel, and the wood on one shoulder, and your cloak on the other shoulder. It would have made more sense to what? Put the cloak, and then put the shovel and the wood on top of the cloak, so that it's not abrasive against your shoulder. This is amazing. Amar lehu, talis shu'ula haisa. The truth is, it's not my cloak. It's not my cloak. I borrowed. He was so poor that he didn't manage even have his own. He had to borrow a cloak for clothing. Shlahachi shale, lahachi lo shale. I borrowed it to wear. I did not borrow it to what? To use it as a cushion on my shoulder. Because also, I remember again, if you use it as a cushion, so the shovel and the wood will rub against it and potentially again diminish. I don't have rishus to do that. My time akuli archa lo sayim mar masanoi. Why is it that the entire question number three? You didn't wear your shoes the whole way. Then when we got to the water, then you put on your shoes. Counterintuitive. Normally you would assume people wear their shoes, then in the water take them off. Listen to this. Kula archa chazina. I don't have to wear my shoes on the regular land. Why? Because I could see where I'm walking. So because I could see where I'm walking, I could always avoid pitfalls. Bemaya luka chazina. But in the water, I don't know what I'm stepping on. So because of that, I have to protect my feet. Next question, question number four. My time kimat amar lehizmi vihigi dalinu lamane. When we got to the thorns and the thistles, you lifted up your tunic. Now, I will say again, counterintuitively, you would keep the tunic down to go ahead and protect your legs, but you lifted up your tunic. Listen, this is amazing. Amar lehu, ze ma'ala aruka, veze ina ma'ala aruka. My leg will heal, my clothing will not. Meaning, again, amazing, which also speaks to his poverty, right? So again, if I rip my clothing, I'm in trouble. If I get a scratch on my leg, no, it's going to heal. My time akimater ma'ala maser, what is amazing. Why is it when you came to the city, nafka devisu demar kimekashta, the rabbis asked, why is it that when you came home, your wife came out to greet you, but not just came out to greet you, she was beautified, she was dressed up, she was wearing makeup, she was wearing clothing, she was wearing jewelry. What's the pshat? Amar lehu, so that I should not desire another woman. I will say, amazingly enough, lest you think that you're a great tzaddik and you're above certain temptations, man is never above temptation. The fool is the one who thinks that he's above certain things. A great man like Abba Chilkiah realized that he was not above temptation. So again, his wife kept him from temptation. My time aylihi bereisha v'hadr ayil mar abasra v'hadr aylin Allah. Why is it when we got to the house, you let your wife go in first? Then you then ask me what they were asking is, one would have thought that maybe, again, you would let your wife in first, then your archim, then your guest, or maybe you go in first. Why this order? Amar lehu, mishum delo badikisu li. I don't know you guys. And because I don't know you guys, I don't know your moral character. I was not going to leave my wife outside with you. So therefore, again, I sent my wife inside first. I went in after, and then only afterwards I invited you in. My time off. So why is it that when you sat down to eat, you didn't even ask us if we wanted to join you? So Abba Chilkiah says, Mishum Delonafisha Rifta, because I know that you knew, I don't have enough bread to feed you. I have enough bread to feed my family. I didn't have enough bread to feed you. I know that you saw that. And therefore I knew that even had I offered you, then what? You would have declined. Such an incredible midah. She said, I knew you were going to say no. So I could offer you, but it's not a real offer. It's not a genuine offer because you know I can't afford it. I know you're going to say no. And therefore, again, I would have curried favor with you in an inappropriate way. Rabbi says, the concept of Hanifa, concept of going ahead and getting favor with someone by extending yourself in a disingenuous fashion. I'm not a disingenuous person. I don't have enough bread for you. You know I don't have enough bread for you. I'm not going to feed you at the expense of my family. Therefore, again, I'm not going to offer something that I know you're going to turn down and I'm not really ready myself to offer. My time a yoiv mar liyinuka kashisha chado rifta uluzutra tre. Why is that you gave your younger child two portions of bread and the older one only one? Armaluhu hai kaibave. So my older child spends more time at home. My younger child is away in the shul. He's learning all day. And because so again, the older one is around the house. Therefore, he has more access to food. The younger one is out of the house the whole day and therefore has less access to food. Umay time a kodim solik anoni mehach zavisa. This is amazing. So he said, Abba Chilkiah, why is it? Why is it that the rain clouds came from your wife's corner before they came from your corner? Right. So they were perceptive. So why is your wife till its answer before yours? Listen to this. Mishum de isesa shicha bevesam. My wife is at home more often than I am. V'yava rifta la'aniye u'mekar v'haniyasa v'ana yahivna zuza v'lo mekar v'haniyasa. Also, listen to this. When poor people come to my house, my wife gives them bread. When poor people cash me on the street, I give them a couple of coins. My wife's zechus of tzedakah is even greater than mine. Why? Because my wife gives the aniyim something ready that they can use already. I give them coins, which they then have to use to purchase. And therefore, because she has a greater zechus of tzedakah, therefore her tefillos were answered first. Inami, or another possibility as to why my wife's tefillos were answered before mine. Hano biryoni, dahava bishvivusan. Because again, once upon a time there were biryoni. Also, biryoni means ruffians. There were these no good nicks, these difficult individuals who are making my life miserable. And ano boy rachami delemos. I wanted the daven to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, they should die. I wanted to daven to God to take their lives because again, they were terrible rishayim. Vihi, my wife, boy rachami delahadru b'tiyufta. My wife davened that they should do tshuva. So my wife is a much greater person than me. And because of that, again, lemaisa, her tefillos ultimately, again, were answered before mine. Well, so let's just do one more piece. Chanan hanechba. Well, so again, that's Abba Chilkiah. Abba Chilkiah, amazing. Well, so just also so you see, the greatness of Abba Chilkiah is what? You know, one of the most important things in life is to live a life with a seder, to do things in a thought-out fashion. So often we live by the seat of our pants, and we don't really make conscious good decisions. We're kind of just always in a reaction mode. Abba Chilkiya says, think out what you do. Everything you do should have a seder. Everything you do should have an order. Everything you do should be logical. If there's something illogical that's happening in your life, you should stop doing it. That's the whole chab of Abba Chilkiya. You see, every step is measured. Every step is clear. David HaMelech says in Tehillim, he speaks about, he praises the Poel Tzedek. Poel Tzedek means someone who lives his life with righteousness. Rashi HaKadosh on that Pasuk in Tehillim says, what does it mean to be a Poel Tzedek? I'm going to blow you away. Ready for this? Are you ready? Yeah. Okay, good. So Rashi says, Poel Tzedek, Kigon Abba Chilkiya. That's what Rashi HaKadosh comments in Tehillim. Kigon Abba Chilkiya. What's a person who lives his life with righteousness? A person who lives his life with Seder? That's Abba Chilkiya. Life has to have a Seder. People who are not organized, people who do not live with lives, you lose out because you get so lost in your disorganization. You get so lost. You know, if you see some people, their life is a constant bahala. Life is a constant circus. They're always putting out fires. They're always this, always that. And that's why they never really move themselves forward. They're kind of at the same spot. They grow a little bit here, a little bit there, but it's not organized growth. That's not life. You have to be a Poel Tzedek. You have to get organized. You have to be mesuder. You have to be methodical. That is the recipe for growth. One more piece. Chanan Hanechba. So literally, Chanan the Hidden One. Barbarte de Choniam Aga. Listen to this. He was the grandson. He was the son of the daughter of Choniam Aga. So first of all, you have to see his family tree. We've got Choniam Aga. We've got Abba Chilkiya. Amazing. Now we have Chanan Hanechba, Chanan the Hidden. Ki mitzrich alma lemitro, when the world required rain, hava mishaji rabbanin yinuke debeirav legabe. Listen, we'll say this is so gripping. The rabbis would send the school children to Chanan the Nechba, and the school children, and v'nachti le b'shepuligam. We'll say, imagine this scene. The children realize there's no rain. So they come to Chanan Nechba. What do? They begin tugging. They begin tugging on his garment. V'amrulei, we'll say, listen to this. V'amrulei, Abba, Abba, havlan mitra. They would cry out to Chanan HaNechba, Father, Father, give us. They saw Chanan HaNechba as their father. Father, Father, give us rain. Give us rain. Amar lifnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And this moved Chanan terribly. The Chanan HaNechba said to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Ribono Shel Olam, Asei Bishvil Elu. What are you doing, HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Bring rain for these. She'enon makirin bein Abba de Yohiv Mitra. La Abba de Lo Yohiv Mitra. These young children, they don't know the difference between a father who could bring rain and a father who can't bring rain. I am their father, Chanan says, but I'm not a father who could bring rain. You're their father who could bring rain. So Yibon Shalom, please bring about the rain. V'amai kari lechanan anechba. Why did they call him Chanan the Hidden One? Interestingly enough, mipnei shahaya machpi atzma beisakisei. This is very interesting because he would cover himself in the bathroom. And I will say, what does that mean? He would only expose enough of his body necessary to take care of his needs, and he would not fully uncover himself. Or in other words, what is the Gemara saying? He exhibited incredible tznius. He exhibited a credible amount of modesty. And someone who's modest in the bathroom, where again, modesty is not necessarily the most important thing, someone who's modest even in that area certainly is going to have an incredible amount of tznius, of modesty, throughout in the other areas of his life as well. Therefore, they called him Chanan HaNechba. I will say, fine, you two, we'll do one more piece, and we're really going to stop. Amarli Rav Zrika l'Rav Safra. Rav Zrika said to Rav Safra, Ta v'chazi ma bein takifei de'arad Yisrael l'chaseidi de'bavel. See the difference between the strong ones of Eretz Yisrael and the pious ones of Bavel. The Chassidi de Bavel, Rafun of Rav Chista. For example, the pious ones of Bavel, like Rafun of Rav Chista, Kevamatzrich Amal Mitro, when the world required rain, Amar Nichnif Hadadi, let's daven together, Vini Bay Rachami, and we'll ask Kadosh Baruch Hu for compassion, Afshar Demiratia Kadosh Baruch Hu, Diyasi Mitra. Maybe God will bring about rain. And again, remember this was done, so they davened together, and it could be they davened together, they got together a group. It would be a more public event. Takifei de'aradi. So Abba said, listen to the strong ones. The strong ones are, so what would they do? Listen to this. Kegon Rabbi Yona Avua, Dirab Mani, like Rabbi Yona. Vadaramani, what would he do? Keva mitzarech alma l'mitra. When the world required rain, what would he do? Hava ayel abeisei. He would go. He would leave his home. Va'amr luhu havu li gualki. Give me my sack. Ve'ezel ve'esili bezuzi ibura. So again, Rabbi Yonah would say to his family, "Do me a favor. Give me my sack. I'm going to go out and buy some grain. I'm going to buy grain. I'm measuring for a zuz." And I will say again, this is very, very high price for rain, for grain, excuse me. A zuz for a measure of grain is incredibly expensive, but no, what are you going to do? So give me my sack, I'm going to go out and buy some rain. Listen to this. Kavinafik libra, when he would leave the house, azul v'kai beduchta amikta, he would go and find a deep area, d'chsev, meaning like a pit, d'chsev, mima'amakim kirasicho Hashem, because Baruch Hu called to you from the depths, v'kai beduchta tzinia, and he would stand in a private place, u'mechasi besaka, he would cover, so he would take the sackcloth that he said he was going to buy grain with, and he would cover himself with it, u'boy rachami, he would dive into HaKadosh Baruch Hu, v'asi mitra, and rain would come, ki hava asi levente, levese, he would then go back home, amr le, I see Mar Ibura. So suddenly we'd say, "No, Abba, Tati, Rabbi Yonah, where's the wheat? Where's the wheat?" I said to myself, "Hoil the Astamitra Hashta Revach Ba'alma." So Rabbi Yonah said, I said to myself, "You know, I saw the rain clouds coming, which means it's gonna rain. If it rains, that means what? The price of grain is going to go down. And therefore I figured not a good idea to go ahead and buy it now." So we'll say the Gemara is contrasting the approach between the tzaddikim of Eretz Yisrael and of Bavel. Of Bavel, they were great tzaddikim as well. But the truth is, what they did, the greatness was exhibited in plain sight. The great ones of Eretz Yisrael were so exceedingly humble that they shielded, they concealed their actions even from their own family. Even their own families did not realize what they were truly capable of accomplishing. All right, we'll stop over here. Shekoyach, Emir Hashem, tomorrow again. Scheduled Shabbos daf is in the afternoon, preceded by Mincha. You want to make
Can I, by show of hands,